Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, thanks for joining us as we look ahead to Week 11 in the National Football League. And the Dallas Cowboys have a 7-game losing skid, but they're getting Tony Romo back. They're in Miami to take on the Dolphins coming up on Sunday. Dave Hellman joins us from DallasCowboys.com to help us look at where this season has gone so far. How are you, Dave?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's the 7-game losing skid. I am a little surprised that the Cowboys couldn't eke out a game or two during this stretch. In terms of the way the Cowboys offense is without Romo, are you surprised that they could not get at least one or two wins?
I don't think you'll find anybody around this team, you know, players, coaches, media, fans, I don't think anybody was expecting a win streak, but there certainly was no shortage of confidence that they could win a game or two in this stretch. And honestly, you know, we said all the way back in September that that's all they needed. I mean, if they had won two out of these 7 games without Tony Romo, they're sitting here at 4-5 and they are in pretty good shape. And I don't think anybody thought that was too big of an ask. But yeah, obviously it didn't work out that way, and they are, you know, saying they're up against it is an understatement. But like I said, no, I don't think anybody would have thought that they'd go 0-7.
In terms of Romo's health, I mean, in coming back from this injury, how has he looked in practice? I would be concerned if I'm a Cowboy fan of a little bit of rust, but so how has he looked?
He's looked good, and, you know, like you mentioned rust, and obviously practice isn't a game, it's not even close, but if there's a silver lining, I guess, it's that, you know, NFL rules have allowed him to practice for the last 2 or so weeks. So, I mean, this was his 3rd week back at practice throwing the ball, working against defenders and things like that. So, you know, there's no substitute for live game reps, but I guess that counts for something. And the other thing is, you know, Romo said it himself yesterday, is this is a weird circumstance where he's not really, I mean, he's not fighting through an injury like he has in the past. I mean, it's a broken bone that is, you know, according to their reports and their scans, it's totally healed. So, I mean, he's a healthy guy. He hasn't played in 8 weeks, but, you know, with 8 weeks to rest and recover and let all that stuff get up to shape, he should be looking pretty good from an injury standpoint.
I'm kind of looking at a larger thing here, because I know the two quarterbacks that played for him are not Tony Romo. But what was it that those two guys, Matt Cassel and Brandon Whedon, could not do in this offense that Romo can?
You know, I think probably a little bit of familiarity with the scheme and just the confidence to make throws. You know, not that Brandon Whedon and Matt Cassel can't physically make the throws, but to have the confidence and the vision to throw guys open and to find things in the defense, you know, that Romo can obviously do. He's been so good at it. Scott Linehan, we talked to him today, the offensive coordinator, is kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, he doesn't want to throw either one of those guys on the bus, but in a roundabout way, he kind of acknowledged that, I mean, the things they're willing to call and the things they're willing to execute look a little bit different with Tony Romo as opposed to the backups. And I think that's pretty reasonable when you're talking about a top flight, you know, all pro caliber quarterback as opposed to some journeyman backups. So, you know, they're obviously similar style quarterbacks. I mean, they play a similar way, but, you know, that experience and that vision that we saw from Tony Romo, I mean, you know, the second highest quarterback rating in a long time. I don't remember the exact stat, but I mean, his last 6 or 7 weeks last year was history book type stuff, and I just don't think that they were able to get that from their backups at the end of the day.
Dave Hellman joins us, DallasCowboys.com, as the Cowboys look to snap a 7-game losing skid at Miami on Sunday with Tony Romo at quarterback. Dave, as far as the running game goes, where are they with the running backs? I know Darren McFadden has got a groin injury. They brought in Robert Turbin. I mean, the Randall situation. Where are they with the running backs?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see. I mean, Darren McFadden, he's had a good stretch here, but I don't think it's unfair to say that, you know, the running back situation has kind of blown up in their face this season. They trusted the guys that they brought in, and they trusted in Joseph Randall to kind of be their guy. That obviously did not work out. McFadden is dealing with a groin injury. I don't think it's going to be anything that keeps him off the field on Sunday, but it's definitely something to watch for a guy with an injury history. Meanwhile, we did the math on it earlier this week. Robert Turbin, who they brought in this week, you know, after a stint with the Browns, I think he's their 13th running back since that they've signed or had on their roster for, you know, at least a brief period since DeMarco Murray left in free agency. So, you know, Lance Dunbar's on the IR. I think it's safe to say they're just trying to patch it together. What's interesting to me is that this guy is a four-year veteran, and he's competing with two rookies for playing time behind McFadden. So I think, you know, he's only been on the team since Wednesday, but he absolutely stands to play a role in this game against the Dolphins as soon as Sunday. It'll be interesting to see.
I'm curious, why didn't Christian Michael work? I know they were really high on him. How come that didn't work out?
You know, going back to Scott Linehan, and we've seen this with other guys. We saw it. We saw it with players last year. We've seen it with other guys this year. I think reliability, trust in the playbook, and confidence that you're going to be able to pick up on your assignments is a big thing for him. I think it's crucial to being able to get on the field in his offense. Ryan Williams was another highly talented backup running back for this team that, you know, everybody kept waiting on him to break out. A lot of people thought he was going to have a say in the running back job this year. And I don't think Linehan really trusted him, and ultimately he didn't last very long with the team. And I think Christian Michael kind of falls into that category too. Just wasn't able to pick things up and get going the way that they would prefer. And, you know, they obviously took their chances churning the roster this week by letting him go.
What is your grade on the offensive line play this year? I know people were very high on where this was going with the talent that they had. How have they played so far?
Not to make an excuse, I think it's a little bit harder to judge given that Tony Romo's been missing for 8 weeks. They've had their moments. They've definitely had their moments. I mean, Darren McFadden ran for 150 yards against the Giants. I thought they did a good job going against a really good Seattle front. And the pass protection hasn't been fantastic, but it hasn't been awful either. Somewhere in the B range. I think the fact that Romo hasn't been there to keep defenses honest against the run probably hurts them. And obviously the fact that they had such a huge reputation coming to this season makes it hard for them. They certainly haven't been bad, but I don't think they lived up or have lived up to the best line in the league billing that they had coming into the season either.
Dave, has Greg Hardy's play on the field been worth some of the distractions off the field?
Honestly, I think it probably depends. And you know, right off the bat, I think, you know, he came out gangbusters. I mean, I think he had 3 sacks and interception the first few games. Honestly, the entire defense has kind of tapered off over the last 3 weeks. And, you know, to their credit, you know, for the myriad of distractions that this team, you know, from Dez Bryant to Hardy to the other stuff, all that, everything that's confronted them, it's been pretty impressive the way they've kind of managed to keep things together and keep the focus. I've said throughout this losing streak, that's one thing that I really admire about Jason Garrett is his ability to keep the locker room on task and keep things together. So honestly, for a team that's lost 7 games in a row, and we actually just talked to Robert Turbin about this earlier this week, you know, it doesn't have the vibe of a 2-7 team. Practices don't look like a 2-7 team or feel like a 2-7 team. So, you know, all those things taken into consideration, I think it's been pretty impressive the way they've handled such a, you know, demoralizing stretch of weeks here.
How does he do that? How does Garrett do that? Because when we see him, he seems to be mild-mannered. How does he keep it all together? Because I think you make a very good point. There are 2-7 teams that look the part, and with Dallas, when you watch them, you just go, they're just missing their quarterback. When they get him back, who knows what they're going to look like?
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that Garrett's mild-mannered, and I think that actually plays to his strength in that regard. You know, no offense to the guy, I admire him a lot, but he's very boring. And I think he does that on purpose. I think, you know, he's kind of the even-keeled captain of the ship, if you will. And, you know, he loves to, you know, we try to get him to talk big picture all the time, every day. And he's not willing to look beyond, you know, we need to have as good a practice as we can today. We need to have as good of a meeting as we can today. We need to play as well as we can against the Dolphins. And I think that kind of has a calming effect on guys when you just think about literally putting one foot in front of the other. And, you know, Tony Romo said it himself this week when he talked to the media for the first time in a while. You know, It has to start with a win against Miami. You can't worry about winning six in a row or seven in a row if you don't beat the Dolphins first. And that's, I mean, it's such a big cliche, but I think in a situation like this, I think it really works and it really resonates.
Dave Hellman joins us, DallasCowboys.com, as the Cowboys take on the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. Dave, as far as the backup quarterback situation, is it too early to talk about a Tony Romo replacement? I don't know how many years he's got left, but should the Dallas Cowboys be looking at a youthful quarterback that they can groom?
I think that's going to be the fascinating subplot of the Cowboys offseason. You know, last year we talked about Marco Murray and Dez Bryant, what the future holds for them. This year is going to be interesting because, you know, I mean, we can't predict the last 7 weeks of the season, obviously, but, you know, let's assume the Cowboys don't make the playoffs because it is, you know, such a daunting task in front of them. You know, you're sitting there, you're probably looking at a Cowboys team that's going to pick in the top half of the draft. Most of the talent that they had on this team that made them playoff contenders, you know, before the season started will still be there. I mean, there might be some roster turnover, but the line will be there. Romo should be, you know, there and presumably healthy. Dez Bryant signed to a long-term deal. Darren McFadden, Jason Witt, you know, all these guys are going to be there. So, you know, you're going to have a chance where you could potentially look at a quarterback of the future. You're also probably going to have a chance to draft a really talented player who can help your team right away. So what do you do? Do you aim for 2016 and maybe Tony Romo's last great shot at the Super Bowl, or do you think about the long-term health of the franchise? And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people with strong opinions for both arguments. So I'm fascinated to see how that plays out.
Yeah, me too. Dave Hellman again, DallasCowboys.com. Great talking with you as always, my friend. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
You got it. I mean, I'm fascinated with that idea too. We've been talking about this back and forth and where the Cowboys could go, even during the losing skid, because again, as we started this interview, I still am surprised that this team could not manage one win during this 7-game slide. Not against Tampa Bay, you know, not against a New York Giants team, a Seattle team that was close, Philadelphia in overtime, New Orleans overtime. They couldn't squeeze out one win. You can blame the backup quarterbacks, and rightfully so, but they couldn't manage one win. And I think if I'm Dallas, I again, you go into the draft, you can get some extra pieces that can help you make that push. Or you can say, look, we just can't get journeyman guys in here that can help us if Romo goes down. We're going to get a youngster that we can start grooming so that we can make a transition eventually. I don't know. It's a tough call. It is a really, really tough call because I can totally see the brass saying, look, it's a first round pick. Let's say they finish in the top 15 and they have a top 15 pick. You're going to get a quarterback at that spot when you may have a couple of more years left with Tony Romo, who may go full season without getting hurt, or he may get hurt immediately and you may have to throw a rookie in there. Or do you say, hey, we need some help here and here, and these are some of the guys that can really help us get quarterback. We'll get later. We'll figure that out later. Again, it all depends on who's out there. It all depends on scouting. It all depends on who's available. That's all for sure. But just theoretically, would you pursue a backup quarterback in next year's draft right away, or would you try to find him somewhere else and try to hope for the best? Because as we've seen, the backup quarterbacks, the situation in Dallas killed them during this stretch. The inability to get one win falls a lot on the shoulders of two guys that weren't able to get the job done, and Brandon Weeden and Matt Cassel. 800-777-2907 is the number to join us if you want to weigh in on that, plus the college football weekend. 800-777-2907. It is Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.